Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 20th of June, recording at 10:18 p.m., and that's British summer time. Now, first, look at the highlights here on what's clearly a very dramatic day in markets, as you've probably heard. Let's start first with stock markets, and I saw a report that said that this was the sharpest fall that we have seen in markets, either talking about on an individual day here, for about 19 months. Now, just before I run through some of these statistics, we know what the trigger factor for this has been, because Fuller Money Well has been talking about it really all year, because we had the fabulous rally that started last November and carried well into the first quarter of this year for a number of stock markets. And we had some quite pronounced overextensions relative to the rising 200-day moving averages, which are sort of a form of trend mean. And we had a lot of hopeful talk that QE would go on forever. We also had some reassurances by no less than one of the more successful hedge fund managers saying that it was not going to be any problem when they started to cut back QE. It would actually be good news for markets. So we had quite an overextension, as you know. And well, the penny has started to drop here now with the talk of the U.S. Heading towards a reduction in its QE programs, although they certainly haven't been specific about when that's actually going to occur. And markets fell very sharply today, as I've already mentioned. Now, that is partly a sign of a reality check in terms of expectations, but I think it's mostly a sign of a lot of leverage in these markets, and that I think is something that inevitably builds up when you get overextended rallies, whether we're talking about the huge move that we've seen in bond markets in recent years, the good recovery that we've been seeing in stock markets over the last few years. Okay, so what do we got here today? Japan and some of the Asian markets had among the smaller corrections, but they weren't all that small, and they were in response to Wall Street's big sell-off yesterday. But Japan was down 1.74% today. The Hang Seng down 2.88. Australia was down over 2%. These are big hits. I won't quote all the percentage moves, but throughout the Asian region, China had some of the bigger ones, down over 3% on the China mainland indices. And there's also a TED spread problem there. We've seen a spike in the TED spread, which is always a sign of some stress in the banking system in China. This happened very, very quickly, and Owen has written about it in here today, and you might want to take note of that. As I say, a number of declines of over 3% in the Asian region. Certainly no better in Europe. We had here also a number of 3% plus declines. Looks like the biggest one is probably the CAC 40, down 3.66%. What's a concern is that taking those broader European indices, such as the Stoxx 50 and also the banking index for Europe, that we've seen a pullback now which is approaching the range lows that we've seen for a year or two, in some instances a couple of years. And those are important support levels, and it certainly looks like they're going to be challenged. Now, In the Americas, Wall Street's decline, 353 points on the Dow and 2.34%, and that's about par for the course here on Wall Street. The S&P was down 2.5%, taking it back under the 1600 level, which we haven't seen in a while, to 1588, although that level has been tested on a couple of occasions. Now, long-dated government bond markets, they were also hit hard in here, so yields have continued to rise, and the US 10-year yield was up, I think, around 2.42%. So that's a big rise that we've seen in the last couple of months. And at one stage today, I think it was up at 2.447%. We saw bond yields rise pretty well across the board around the world here today. Nothing much escaped this decline overall. We had big hits in the commodity markets. Before I mention those, so the US dollar was a bit steadier in here. Nothing like the rally that we actually saw yesterday. And what's interesting is the weakness that we've seen in the Japanese yen against, albeit against a very strong dollar, but there are now 97.31 yen to the dollar. That should help to cushion Japan overall here, and at a time when it's generally a little bit oversold and remains one of the most attractive markets in my opinion. Now, in the precious metals sector, which I promised to review on charts, I mentioned and I discussed it yesterday, but we had very, very sharp falls. Just very quickly here, palladium, which had been the star performer overall, but it's been turned back by resistance near the 800 level once again. And this has happened on several occasions over the last 2 or more years. And it's closed at 663, $663, dollars, and it looks like it's going to have a look at prior support levels, which are in the 600 to 550 region. Deterioration in platinum caused that to break beneath the lows that we've seen over the last, I believe, couple of years. Silver saw a new low since its high, and is down over $2 in here today, down to currently at 1952. So you get the picture, and there's been a day of panicky selling here. Gold bullion down to 1278. That's down over $72 here today. So what do we make of it? Well, I think that first, in terms of stock markets, I hope you feel that you've been warned that we were going to see some trouble here as we continued this corrective phase, and as people became more aware that the quantitative easing was actually going to occur, and that would unsettle markets. Now, you know, at Fuller Money, I so often mention this, as is Owen, that from an investment perspective, if you're not a buy and hold investor for the long term, Warren Buffett style, and he, of course, manages his portfolio somewhat, as we all know. But the point I want to make is that the time to lighten, if you're going to lighten, is when we get a rip-roaring rally, such as we saw carrying on into the beginning of this year, and markets are getting quite overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. It's always difficult to do that psychologically because people are extrapolating upward trends in their forecasts. But if one doesn't actually sell into that strength actively, then a trailing stop policy is a good one to use. What we don't like doing from a long-term investment standpoint is selling when the crowd is actually panicking, and that's what we're starting to see in here today. Now, can we get a little bit more panic? Of course we can. If we look at the U.S. indices, which had big downward dynamics today, but they are still the main ones. Take the S&P, for instance, and the Dow. They are still above their 200-day moving averages. And when we had concerns in 2011 and 2012 about the temporary halts in quantitative easing back then, we saw Wall Street's indices pull back and actually break beneath their rising 200-day moving averages, albeit only temporarily, albeit only for a few weeks. So I think we've got a little bit more downside risk in here over the near term, and that will create some buying opportunities. But it's currently catch a falling knife territory, and I'd be a little cautious here in the near term. Now, there's one index that I just want to look at, as I'm just surprised by the move that I'm seeing on my Bloomberg screen, but now it's actually correct. Brazil, one of the worst performing stock markets of all. It's been just in free fall, really, since the end of late May. But it actually closed up today with a modest gain, having plunged and then recovered. Quite interesting. Not many other markets have moved similarly. Okay, is this a bear market? I don't think so. Overall, but. What we want to see is some sort of loss of downside momentum occur following a sharp sell-off, and then we'll go back and look at the charts, particularly of autonomies and similar quality companies around the globe that will look attractive. So this is a pullback that's also improving valuations, and they had become obviously more expensive as a result of the last big rally that that we actually saw. Now, in terms of long-dated government bond yields, I think, and that market as a whole, I think is much more risky in terms of the medium to longer term outlook than stock markets. Now, it doesn't always feel that way because stock markets are considerably more volatile, which is why we want to be doing our buying of the in terms of the shares and funds that we actually like following sell-offs and to lighten on the strength. But in terms of the overall risks, and I've made this point in every audio, but the 30-year plus bull market and the compression in yields that we saw with all the QE, and this is something that most of us haven't seen previously in our lifetimes. So they're, you know, bond markets are in bubble territory, and the charts clearly show evidence of base formation development overall. I doubt that we will see new lows in yields, but the actual base building process can often take a lengthy period of time. And if we see slower growth for a little longer than most people have been expecting, and that is a possibility because of the slowdowns that we're seeing in a number of the Asian markets, not least China, then that could see or that could lengthen, with the help of QE, could lengthen the base building process that we see in those bonds overall. But the bottom line point here is, I think this is a dangerous area to be in. I would not want to be holding bonds or bond funds, and I think that the risk of higher yields over the medium to longer term is very considerable indeed. So Fuller Money much prefers equities, and that's a point that we have made on so many occasions, and will have, I think, every justification to continue to make. In terms of currency action overall, the dollar tends to be firm when we see these global concerns, as it was in here again today. And overall, looking at the dollar action, it does look as if a overall base building process is actually underway. And in the past, these have taken several years to to develop. But there are some good fundamentals behind this, and not least the United States' very competitive position in terms of energy costs, and also the U.S. still has that lead in the field of technology, and in many of the technological areas, the U.S. is either maintained or even actually increased its lead. So my long-term assumption is that the dollar is in a support building base formation development stage, but that's likely to continue. And I don't think we'll have too much in the way of dramatic activity here in the currency markets, certainly not among the major currencies. Overall, and we didn't see anything too dramatic here. The euro slipped a little bit. Sterling slipped. No, sterling didn't even slip. 155. Euro only down to 132, 18 here. And I've already mentioned that yen, 97.35, which remains soft, and that will help to cushion downside risk for the duration of this sell-off in the Japanese stock market. Now, precious metals. I mentioned in my broadcast last night that the chart patterns looked very vulnerable, and that while I don't think and didn't think that there was a big downside risk, I think I mentioned it at about 10%, that we were likely to see precious metals go lower before they next moved higher. And again, I think this is part of the overall deleveraging that's actually taking place. And people are still reducing positions in the ETF gold holdings. And while that continues, I will not be confident that we have seen a bottom form. In the very short term, following today's decline, these precious metals are looking somewhat oversold once again. But there, again, to repeat this point, there's no confirmation that we've actually seen the bottom of this bear market cycle for precious metals. And last but not least, in terms of crude oil prices, I have been fretting a little bit in the last couple of weeks about the rallies that we were seeing in crude oil. Because the last thing we need would be to see any form of a spike in crude oil prices. Well, that risk has been reduced by today's action overall. And we've seen some sharp pullbacks. For instance, the WTI, which is the less important one now, that's back down to 95. The more important crude price is the Brent, and that fell $4 here today to 102. So that's a good downward dynamic from the upper side of its sorry, it's a good downward dynamic which has checked the rally that was taking place in that Brent crude. And it looks like all the commodity markets were weak, save one, and that was lumber, which had a modest gain in here today. Okay, heavy selling. Watch for fairly nervous markets over the next few days before we start to get some technical rallies. On that note, all the best to all of you.